welcome to Frontier Fiction, an actual play Dungeons & Dragons podcast. We are coming to you all the way from the frozen north. It is not easy to stay sane in Alaska, so we get together with one of our favorite pastimes to let the voices in our heads out to play. I'm Veda.
Hi.
Are you playing anyone in particular?
No. Just Solana.
Playing somebody leaving early for dinner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Zeb playing Maddox.
Moisey playing Dacian.
I'm Anna playing Maeve.
I'm Colton, and I'll be the DM today. Let's roll to see who has to do the crazy recap. I got a 3.
16.
I got a 6.
14.
Nat 20.
This is 3 in a row for you, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Mark. Let's keep it going.
Set.
You're using practice.
Go.
Last week, the party met the Boy King and his ensemble, including the right and left hand, the sword and shield of the king, and had a conversation with Thaddeus Wick after their underground adventure.
And goblins.
There were goblins, too.
And goblins.
It's very important.
Yeah. Got a gecko.
Yeah.
We did. An immortal
lizard.
And I owe Daisy 100 gold.
A lizard.
Oh, yeah.
An
immortal lizard.
Forgot about that.
And that's where we're going to pick up. Everybody's headed home for their day. What exactly does everyone have planned after concluding their at length septic, dry and dangerous underground surveying expedition?
Go into the bathhouse with my gecko.
Sure.
Where we found the bard. Many episodes ago.
30-something episodes ago.
But I'm dressed in much finer clothes than I was before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't recognize you by any means. And the steam of the bathhouse quickly fogs up the glass orb that the immortal lizard dwells within. The bathhouse is full of an array of people in the fog that are avoiding eye contact or pursuing it, depending on whether they're there for business or pleasure.
What am I going to do with you, Pendleton? And I wipe the screen a bit.
You can just hear the faintest little clink, 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 clink as some tiny feet readjust inside.
Oh, I'll get your secrets. Don't you worry. And that's it.
Okay.
Solana would definitely be returning to the temple. She is very exhausted and feels like she needs a revamp on the sun in general. She just feels very disorientated and wants a little of her routine back.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing more familiar faces and in a place that's just really bright.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like your friend, what's her name?
Nora. Wow.
Good memory. Nora is busy when you arrive. She's not there. You're expecting the ambush of her 20 times 20 questions, none of which she would let you answer. However, you just see a red-haired boy sweeping out the main room of the temple. Most of the people in the hustle and bustle of things have moved out of the temple area at this time of day, and things seem to be proceeding just as usual there underneath the sun.
Cool. Well, I should probably go to the main part where they do the prayer every morning and just for quite a few hours, just sit down and meditate in prayer to rejuvenate.
Okay. You bet. You are undisturbed in this practice.
Good.
Just as usual. Yep.
Thought you fell asleep.
Dacian would have headed back to his place, his place got cleaned up and...
Canteen.
Yeah, full canteen. Nice. And got cleaned up, got something to eat, and then gone to return some of the items he had borrowed.
Mm-hmm.
And go visit... Pyrrhic?
Pyrrhic.
Yeah. That was his name, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So you're going to return the monocle?
Mm-hmm.
All right. To the halfling that you borrowed it from?
Yes.
Okay, and then go visit Pyrrhic. And what's your intention there? Are you just poking your head in and saying hi, or do you have inquiries or suggestions or questions?
He'd poke in just to say hi, but he would look for an opportunity to ask about what he knows of the Undercity there, and possibly of spiders of unusual size.
Okay, yep.
Oh, and while he was, and if the if things went well, he would ask about possibly the one of the eyes that he had got obtained too.
Okay.
See if he knew anything or recognized it.
Well, for starters, with Marvin, you catch him at his office, which is not hard to do, and he's very grateful to be returned the monocle that he uses in his affairs. He's got a little nervous nature about him, and he quickly, you know, thanks you profusely for bringing it back safely, and doesn't neglect to ask you what you used it for or how anything went, and rushes right to the case and fastens it closed and locks it in the corner of his office. There's still two guards out front of his place. Both look sturdy, well-paid, well-fed, and not even bored, which would speak towards their morale, which is interesting. Now, over at Pyrrhic's office, you find that he is not in.
Okay.
The door is fastened. There is a sign with a kind of cartoonish-looking bird mask with glass goggles that is over the door. Underneath it, it just says, out.
He would poke around to see if Pyrrhic was actually gone.
Okay, sure. Give me a perception check.
11.
An 11. Okay. You believe you hear the faintest from down low. It sounds not good.
Okay. He'd shrug his shoulders, shake his head, saying to himself, he must be preoccupied. I don't think he doesn't usually like to be bothered when he's playing with stuff. I'll come back later.
Stuff.
All right.
And he would head home.
Okay.
For a good long nap.
All right. Yeah. The officer's bar underneath the canteen is not particularly full at this hour. There is food in the kitchen for you, should you wish for it, and your rooms are secure upstairs. Are you signaling me with your hands?
Yeah, I was just gonna, you know, segue. but didn't want to interrupt. After the bathhouse, Maddox would have made his way back to where the kids were on lookout and stuff, because he doesn't want them to think that he was abandoning them.
Yeah.
They've
been abandoned before, it'll be okay.
Yeah, well, repeated trauma doesn't make it better. so would he be able to find them over in that area?
Yeah, for sure. Right in the area that you described for them to kind of hang out and poke around. It doesn't take very long of you just kind of being in the courtyard and looking around for them to come and find you where you're at. And they appear to be excited, but also trying to be cool.
Right.
As they walk up, and the older boy, like, walks past you and looks, like, obviously with his hand over his eyes into a shop window. And then he whispers loudly over the side of his mouth, and he goes, Hey,
you trying out a new voice?
Yeah.
It's working for you.
Thank you.
Very intimidating.
You've been gone a long time. My voice dropped.
Yeah. Well, it was only a matter of time. Finally. you see anything crazy while I was gone? Or interesting?
We saw you.
That is both crazy and interesting, yet still unhelpful.
But you were with Thaddeus.
You saw us in the castle, the palace?
You went up the cool stairs.
Yeah. What about before that? Any time in the last day?
I didn't... Well, we saw him go downstairs once, and then up the stairs with you, and that's all.
That's all. So he spent most of his time upstairs?
I think so. I don't know. He's a wizard, man. Does he have to use stairs?
Well, I don't know why he would be inconsistent in using the stairs and not using the stairs.
He pauses briefly and he grabs his shorter friend and he goes, "Wow, look at that article for sale," and points to the window and he goes, "Yeah, you're probably right." Back, not using a weird voice anymore.
Okay. You've been alone out here for quite a while, haven't you?
You're blowing my cover, man.
All right. Well, I can see you're really liking this. Hey, why don't you come check out this this cool rock I found back there behind that building?
You can see he looks suspicious.
Wait a few seconds after I leave, I whisper to him, and then I go behind the building.
Mm-hmm. All right. You pause back there for a minute, and then they come around the corner. Cool.
Sorry, I just didn't want to blow your cover out there. Mm-hmm. Hey, if you were withholding any information from me out there for the sake of, you know, discretion, now is a safe time to tell me.
No. Yes. No. Like, they're kind of whispering to each other, and they both look at each other and shrug, and they're like, nope.
So in 24 hours, all you saw was Thaddeus coming down the stairs and then going back up the stairs.
Well, that's more than the previous 24 hours.
Okay. Well, you know what, boys? I appreciate your committed nature. You have done great work, although very unhelpful work. I have learned from your service that in the future you will be very reliable. Not clients or patrons. Clients? No. Worker bees.
What's a worker bees?
Contract workers?
Yeah, don't worry about it.
We're worker bees.
That's right.
The other one says, the younger one slaps him on the chest, and the younger one goes, "Worker bees?" Yeah. We're the Wargabees.
I'm gonna pull out the rest of the jerky I had bought. I think it was 3 pounds. So I'm gonna give that all to them.
Oh, wow.
And then I'm gonna pull out a gold pouch and say, you know, you can work for food and you don't have to do a whole lot, apparently. You just look at a staircase for a couple days. But if you wanna make some of this, and I hold up the gold.
Just we literally said that we would prefer to be paid money when we met, but you rolled a high persuasion.
I know. I'm telling you now. That if you want gold, you have to get me valuable information.
Oh, makes sense. Mm-hmm. Information is money in this town.
That's right.
And that's the Wargabee's business.
That's right. You're a Wargabee. And if you feel like recruiting, spread the word to your friends that I'm looking for Wargabees.
Okay. It's time for this operation to grow.
That's right. I'll be in touch.
Come on, Hal. And he grabs the younger one by the hand and he goes, oh, okay.
As I walk away, hi, useless kids. Kids gotta eat. And then I'm gonna go home.
They're eating jerky as they leave.
Good.
Mm-hmm. And pointing. The older one's pointing animately at different things as they walk.
Great. He's very observant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're... Is that important? No. No. Maeve.
Maeve would take her potion and go to her book club,
mm-hmm.
and see if she can find somebody who knows what this particular potion might entail.
Mm-hmm.
And also, she wants to find out more about the execution's potential suspended animation of kings.
Mm-hmm.
How that might play into ritual sacrifices.
Sure.
Subtly.
So,
because Maeve is so subtle.
Queen of subtle.
The book clubs that you frequent are always running. One of them somewhere is always running. And, you know, the crowds that you roll with, some of them, while they stay up late into the night and roam from one club to the next after they close, like the after book club and the after after book club and the exclusive book club. And you've got all of this mapped out on like your little social network and your notes, and you track down where the hot spot to be is tonight. and you find your way in, sorting through your passwords inside of your notes, and there are a plethora of learned or very in individuals in this location, which is currently underneath or right next to an officer's bar, which you believe Dacian stays at. Yeah.
Maybe I'll pop in after book club and say hi.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he'll appreciate that.
Would he ever mention... I don't remember if he had mentioned where he'd stayed. Just out of curiosity. Okay.
You guys hang out a lot.
Yeah, yep. Fine.
Fine?
No, I don't...
know a lot of people.
Yeah. All right, then. Just an officer's bar. That is of no significance to you at all.
Oh, my.
You will not be able to find anybody important there at any given time in the future, because you don't know that it's important.
Oh, gosh.
Still. Yeah. Okay. There's dim light for a book club. Very cool. People are nose in book. Little tiny candles that are kind of diffused or painted on the side, so the light only shines forward, and you can kind of set it behind your shoulder next to you somewhere and read a book in the dim light. There's murmurs everywhere. Nobody speaks up too much. If they do, they quickly pipe down because everyone looks at them thinking like maybe they've had a little too much to drink.
You'll be looking for either someone with magical backgrounds or some sort of professorial role.
Well, there are many professors at the academy, and there are also a few students of higher patronage. Like they're more well-to-do. They're funded very well. They can frequent book clubs such as this one or study clubs.
Glow.
Looking around the room, you don't see Professor Grouse. This one's a little more exclusive, and he smells. So he's gonna have trouble finding or getting into this one. And if he showed up, it would probably disperse. Seems to be cool. Also, the area is a little tight in here, so his corpse flower smell would waft and linger. However, you are not directly familiar with, but aware of, who the individual who is sitting in the corner. He's got his foot resting on his knee. He has spats and nice shoes, a long white coat. He's balding, younger, thick, black, bushy hair, light olive hue to his skin, some not massive but pronounced tusks are coming out of his bottom lips, and there are little spectacles resting on a completely destroyed nose, like it has been broken multiple times and reset. Cauliflowered ears and beady little intelligent eyes that are looking through the spectacles at a book, and you recognize the Professor of Magical History, who is Professor Fennel, a half-orc, or some amount of his lineage is orcish.
I'm going to sidle respectfully up, because I know the rules in this establishment. Break out a book out of my pack, Serpents Minuscule and Monstrous, and hold it under my arm like I'm here to be reading and studying. And I'm going to see if I can find a place next to him and sit down, start reading.
Well, there's cushions around and about, but he's definitely selected the most elevated and obvious position to be seen in this corner.
Perfect. I'm going to settle in and start flipping through pages. And then after not too long, I'll probably open up my pack and let the... or like bump my backpack and let my potion roll strategically out.
Okay, yeah. It clinks and makes that odd sound as glass slides across a surface of friction and resonates with the liquid inside of it, sloshing back and forth lightly. In the dim light, you faintly see little speckles of gold kind of flickering, catching the light much more sharply than they should in the kind of like smoky green mess that is inside this potion. And you see Mr. or Professor Fennel grab his glasses, he hooks them with a kind of clawed pinky and pulls them down and looks over at the potion lying on the ground and he goes, "That's a shame. I was hoping that was a tusk cleaner."
"Oh, this old thing?"
"Yes, I'm a little want for a drink at the moment."
Does sound quite lovely right now. I actually, I'm not sure what this is. Pick it up and like shake it and hold it up to the light a little bit. Kind of somewhere where I can be looking at it, but also that it would be a very good vantage point for him as well. Showing it off like on a stage.
He says, "Well, I don't particularly deal with the alchemical. However, I would say, in the interest of entertainment, there are two decisions before you. You can either drink it, or you can convince someone else to drink it and see what it happens. Then perhaps you will know what you had."
"Want to flip a coin for it?"
"I will not be imbibing." "Now, if you have an orcish tusk cleaner, I am parched."
"It could be."
"It does not resemble an orcish tusk cleaner."
"Oh, well, shame,
at least
shame,
not
shame.
The way Mom used to make them."
"Interesting. What is your field of study again, sir? I vaguely recognize you."
"I'm the professor, as it were, of magical histories, which means I memorize things that happened a long time ago and teach them to students that don't care."
"I relate to that. Young people nowadays don't have any interest in any of the histories or learning from the past. They just carry on with the next newfangled thing, wasting time, dawdling around, hanging out in courtyards, drawing rude pictures of innocent bystanders."
"What's the worst crime? Not having enough interest or having too much?"
"Depends on what the interest is in, I suppose."
"Then what does your interest lie in?"
"All of this and that, here and there. I'm kind of a collector of information, hobbies, and curiosities, as it were."
"How very mysterious."
He's looking like he kind of pulls his glasses back up, and he's had his thumb inside of his book, and he like flips it open. He's not looking back at it yet, but he's sending like a polite, getting bored signals.
Since you're here, I recently came across a very interesting piece of information, and probably a nasty rumor, but I was just curious to see.
Being a professor of history, I do love modern history. Recent history, or rumors, as you call them." And he folds the book like much more tightly and rests it underneath his arm. He's like, "Do tell."
"I heard that, well, came across a piece of information. You know how things just kind of fly about in this side of the city. There was a certain history or tradition with the kings, the palace, and keeping things rejuvenated, as it will, potentially extending life."
"That's wonderful, but what exactly would be your rumor? That is staged more perhaps as a question or attempting to divulge information from myself, not entertaining myself with your information."
"Well, the rumor was that I had a friend who had a friend who somehow got into the palace. And inside the palace, there was some sort of a chamber. That person was very vague on the particulars. You know how people are nowadays, don't pay attention to any of the important details."
Hold that thought. Roll me a perception check.
9.
A 9. I'll say this. As you're talking, you hear a faint ringing sound in your ear. It's distracting.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Anyway, she saw some things that seemed a little bit suspicious.
In the palace, not the academy.
Maybe it was the academy.
Interesting. Well, suspicion in the academy is my business. Suspicion upstairs, as it were, is not my business. Mm. And suspicion downstairs is nobody's business, lady.
He says, like, with a surprising amount of coldness.
Oh, well, just a silly rumor as it were. She is a terrible gossip, that person.
And she.
She, her. Yes. Anyway. Well. Oh. I believe I have a... I need to go get a drink. I'm just gonna stop. Go next door. Subtle.
Pleasure. Appreciate the entertainment.
And he flips his book back open, pulls his glasses up tight against his little squinty eyes, and continues reading.
I'm gonna go next door and have a drink.
Yeah, this would be later in the day. There are a lot of officers in there. You actually believe you recognize one of the gentlemen who was on shift outside the south gate of the noble district when you and Solana were trying to keep them distracted for no reason at all, actually. So they wouldn't wonder why you were standing there watching it. Yes.
I'm not going to acknowledge that person. Just, like, studiously turn my face away and go up to the bar and get a drink.
Okay.
Look around.
Yeah. There's a short individual behind the bar. He has very quick hands, deft eyes, large apron, and he moves quickly and he does not speak and just simply sets a glass on the table, taps twice next to it, and looks at you as though he's wondering what drink you're going to request, gets you the drink that you request, holds out a hand for coin, and then keeps moving up and down the bar, polishing this and that, wiping this or that down. Every now and then he pokes his head back into the kitchen for a moment. There's also a little, like, oscillating order. What would you call that? Cue? It goes into the back.
Like in there, oh, the twisty thing that they put tickets on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There are no tickets on it right now.
Ticket wheel.
Ticket wheel. Weir. Ticket weir. Wheel. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Anything in particular you're doing there, or just getting a drink?
She would just get a real fast drink, and then head back home to Bon.
Okay, yeah. Yep. And Bon, when you finally arrive at home, is fast asleep. You know this because you can hear her upstairs, the mantle shaking slightly, the articles on it. Some of them are threatening to rattle off of it. And you can see that Mort?
Morph
is asleep on the couch with the dogs, and he's got a pillow shoved over his head, and his foot keeps twitching as though he's not quite asleep.
I would go throughout the whole house, make sure everything's in order, kind of briskly tidy up this and that, probably making it worse than it is already.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit more disorganized. Check in Bond's room and make sure that she looks at peace and everything's okay.
Mm-hmm.
She's
hanging over the side of her bed.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Go in, stand over her a little bit with my hands on my hips. Look around, make sure everything looks okay, and then unpack and go to bed.
Mm-hmm. You do notice... Give me a perception check while you're... Or investigation check while you're poking around.
Three.
Everything seems more or less exactly where you left it. You need to get more salt soon if you ever plan on doing any pickling. Again. And it looks like, for the most part, the chores were getting done. And nothing appears to be broken. Nothing valuable seems to be misplaced.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Wonderful. The sun sinks into the sky over the Sun City, and the moon makes its full course. What is everybody's plan for the morning?
Solana would probably, after she like checks in with Nora, go to Maeve's place to see how Bon is.
Mm-hmm. It will take you a while to check in with Nora. She has a lot to share about the individual who provides her roles for her morning rounds. She refuses to call him by name or even business every time she says, "The individual who provides the roles." And she seems to be upset by him. She has several questions that she asks, not too passively or sneakily, about Dacian and your relationship. And she also is laying on the guilt for how much of your responsibility she's been picking up without any thank from the Academy, no less the people that she serves.
Oh my. Solana's not, like, used to her anymore. She was very used to dealing with her every single day, so she feels very overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
But she nods politely and does what she can to soothe her.
Give me a constitution save. No, okay.
Oh, really? Yeah, and
you
then...
snap. Something snaps in your mind.
Oh my.
Solana loses it.
Screams at Nora. No. Yeah, and then, she would just head to Maeve's.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, early in the morning. Hmm?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Nora is off to selflessly, single-handedly make other people serve this city. And you make your way in the cool morning air, a brief reprieve from what the day is about to bring down by means of temperature and beating overhead heat, towards Maeve's hearty and stalwart old property. And Maddox, did you stay at your own abode last night, or what remains of it?
I did.
Okay.
I did. I was pretty exhausted, so I just curled up. Like, not on a bed anymore. I think it's still covered in sand.
Mm-hmm.
So just covered, like, curled up on a sand pad with the gecko kind of cradle in my arm, just sleeping with Pendleton. And in the morning, I would have been anxious to get back to the, you know, normal routine.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have just been chilling outside in my chair, like, holding Pendleton in my hands, just be like, what are you hiding, Pendleton?
There was something unusual this morning. And that was, you heard Pip come home, perhaps, in the night, on his side of the building. But he brought a friend, and they didn't talk or anything. They just crashed out, but in the morning you can see, like, on Pip's side of the floor, there is a large, rotund, bearded individual who's holding a bottle kind of underneath his arms with his hat pulled down low. Very smelly. And he's kind of leaning next to Pip. Looks like they just came home and crashed, you know.
Would I recognize this guy at all? Has he been here before?
Yeah, you would know him as one of the people that Pip kind of has run with before. And also as somebody expressly that you have said is not welcome in your home. You have not bothered to learn his name.
I'm going to cast a major image.
Okay.
So it's the same as minor image, except that it makes sounds and the smells and all that stuff, like mm-hmm. all of the sensory things except for feeling, of a very large, large spider. And I'm gonna kind of have it be on the bearded dude's stomach.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm gonna grab a chair and I'm gonna smack him in the face with the chair. And then scream, "Spider!" And it's gonna be on his stomach.
Okay.
And then as soon as he, like, wakes up, it's gonna jump off and scurry, but then, like, face him like it's gonna attack.
Okay. I'm gonna roll disadvantage to see through your illusion. And I've got... That's cocked. It's also good, but it doesn't matter. Eight. Eight on the die.
No.
So, Pip rolls over and, like, kind of does a backward somersault, and he comes up with his hands up. He's on your side of the line. You're, you know, subconsciously aware of that.
Pip, go grab a box!
And Pip's looking around wildly. His eyes are just about swollen shut. And he goes, I paid!
No, and you fool! Look at the spider!
He looks down at the spider. The individual who got just clocked in the face with the chair grabs his nose, and you just hear him go, argh! And it's like, as he grabs his nose, his hat flips up because he pushed the brim into his face. And then he, like, lifts it up and looks around wildly, and he sees the large spider on his stomach, and it leaps backwards as you control the image and raises its two front arms the way that spiders do when they want to jump at you or intimidate you, and it totally does not work because they're tiny and you're big.
No, it works.
It totally works.
This one's bigger.
This little sound, like, comes from it, and the guy goes, blah! And, like, he drops his bottle and rolls, like, sideways two or three times out of the building. Then he scrambles back in on his hands and knees, kind of squared off with the spider, grabs his bottle, and backs out slowly, shakes it a little bit, and then realizes it's empty and throws it bottom over top at the spider. Again, it kind of clatters through the room.
Cool.
And then you hear him just kind of like poof, 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 run off into the sand and the dirt. And Pip goes,
go get a box and some limes. They hate limes.
Limes. Limes. And, like, he's going for the door, and the spider's not quite in between him and the door, but it could easily, like, corner him off. So he runs to the other side and crawls out one of the holes in the side of the building. And you just hear, like, the cloth kind of rips a little bit, and it was kind of plastered over it. And you hear, like, a and then just kind of like a of trundling feet running away.
See, Pendleton, that's how you deal with unwanted visitors. Then I would hear this voice, Pendleton, that wasn't very kind.
Pendleton?
Sorry. What did the lizard do?
Maddox, that wasn't very kind. I know. it was necessary, though, don't you think? No. Well, you're entitled to your own opinion. Now, look, we've got some serious work to do. I would thank you to not distract me. I don't mean that. Distract me as much as you want. Okay. And I'm just gonna go to the front and sit in my chair. I'm gonna be trying to, like, fasten some kind of... I imagine, like, those plant holders that Veda makes with forget-me-nots that, like, holds... That could hold the glass ball, but it would still be able to see outside of it. It would just kind of be strapped in and tied at the top with a strap to hang on, like, a extra bag. I'm trying to fasten something like that.
Sure. Give me a... this would probably be... I'm going to call... It's dexterous handwork. Flat hand.
Nat 20?
Yeah. So you find just kind of some loose cord and string about. You braid the string, take the cord. It doesn't match exactly, but you kind of macrame together a sling and seal it off at the top with a nice little knot that you could remove if you wanted fairly easily, and an arm strap that you could put into your belt or easily drop into a backpack or just throw over your shoulder underneath your coat. So this little glass orb would rest underneath your arm while you walked around and out of the sun.
Cool. And I'm just gonna chill, kind of enjoying the view of the familiar surroundings, and then look at the sun and be like, where are my biscuits?
Your chair, it's seen some wear since you were last up here. Now, now one of the legs is broken, and so you have to push backwards into the left to make the weight distribute to the other three legs, otherwise it tips over.
Ah, damn it, Pip.
Yep. And you do not see anybody early, bright and early, coming around with the biscuits.
I'm going to get a little impatient, but I'm going to wait.
Mm-hmm.
Solana would definitely drop by Maddox's on his way out, her way out, just to see that area and check in on some people.
Mm-hmm.
Just see how much has changed or anything like that.
Sure. You absolutely can. It's like, it is nowhere near along the way. It is a far detour from your path to Maves, but you can totally do that.
Yeah, she'd do that.
Okay.
It's been on the back of her mind, especially in hearing Nora talk about it and all of her loudness.
All of her loudness.
Yeah.
Yeah. As you're walking through the mud huts, you can hear a woman that you recognize instantly as Nora arguing with somebody a few streets over about whether they're doing a good job of distributing the biscuits or not.
Oh.
And you can see a few people like poke their head out and look like they recognize you and wave. And a couple of children that recognize you and come up for biscuits.
Mm.
Which you don't have.
No, I don't have biscuits. Let's see them. I have some rations, so I'd probably just be like, sorry, no biscuits today, and just hand them some dried jerky.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, they look pretty grateful for that and run away. And are you headed towards Maddox's place?
Yeah, I'd swing by there.
Mm-hmm. You see along the way, you see a bearded man with a really rough prospector's sort of looking hat. Like dust clouds kind of emoting from him as he moves, going, and trundling, like running out of steam a little bit as though he's been running. Smells like the bottom end of a bar.
Mm.
Yep. And he moves past you and coming from Maddox's home, or the direction of. And then you reach Maddox's place, and he is pushing back on his chair so that it doesn't tip over as he sits, and the sun is peeking over the horizon. Everything is decorated in orange this morning.
Good morning, Maddox.
Oh, hi, Solana. You're back here already?
I just wanted to see something familiar, get back into the routine. I still feel pretty shook.
Yeah, this is about as familiar as it gets. Maybe not in a good way.
Well, anyways, I'm gonna go to Maeve's, but I just thought that I'd, you know, come by and say hi.
Well, thank you. Oh, hey, check this out. And he lifts his cloak up and pulls out the glass. Look.
Oh, so creative.
Just kind of swings it back and forth a little bit. I named him Pendleton.
Pendleton.
Because he has a lot of secrets.
That's a good name.
Thank you. You know, what are you up to today?
I'm gonna go to Maeve's.
Oh.
I pointed at Maeve.
Good.
Hi. I wanna see how Bond's doing, and you know, it's been a while, and I'm gonna see if I can borrow some of Maeve's tools.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Bond, I hope she's doing alright. Let me know if there's anything I can do to help. He's like, kind of cares, but not really.
I'll probably make some breakfast.
You know, she's probably. Maeve's probably struggling getting things in order since she's been gone. She probably used an extra hand, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll just come along. How about that?
Okay.
Okay.
Yay. So I didn't want to walk alone.
Sure. On the way, you guys are walking towards Maeve's place, which heads through the courtyard to the palace. Unless you cut. Well, yeah, it does. So you notice there's a lot of hullabaloo, and you can see some individuals kind of frolicking through the palace courtyard with long ribbons kind of tied around their wrists, and they're wearing bells, and every now and then they pause and do like a cartwheel or a backflip, and they're shouting and trolloping and dancing and jigging, and they're saying Sullivan's Grand Traveling Circus has arrived at your city and is available at such and such a time. And they're basically just kind of like grandstanding and raising awareness that the circus, Sullivan's Circus, which you may have noticed, it's definitely been around. There's only so many cities on this continent, but is back in town.
So we've probably seen this circus before?
It's possible.
Okay.
If you would have sought it out, yes.
Oh, that looks fun.
Yeah, not exactly normal.
No.
But fun.
Fun. They got little bells and stuff.
Maybe Bon would be interested. She'd fit right in with these guys.
In the circus?
Well, I don't mean that in a bad way.
Maybe she enjoys seeing it.
Yeah, you know. For fun.
For fun, yeah.
And who knows, you know, traveling circus might be the best cover for her, really.
That's true.
Anyway, food for thought. Can I do just a general perception check for the circus people? Because I know that a lot of times, gypsies, clowns, all those people are like kind of a double meaning in what, why their places and what they're doing there.
Yeah.
Like, can I get a sense for that?
You can roll. I think if you're looking for intent, it'd be insight.
Okay.
Or investigation.
8. 8.
Total?
I'm pretty sure I have a +2. I'll double check it, but I'm pretty sure. Yeah, oh, it's +5. Okay, 13.
Okay.
That's different.
Yeah. Yeah, you deduce that they're trying to raise awareness for the circus. They're trying to drum up business. It's probably going to be near the where the stables are for all the animals in the city, kind of not too far from Marvin's office because there's open spaces there. Actually, right about where the caravans tend to meet is probably where the circus carts are now. And you do get a sense from them that they have done this before, and they're very good at, you know, their customer service faces and voices are on, but it's early in the morning, in the middle of the week, and they're probably not exactly thrilled to be doing cartwheels in the town square.
Yeah.
At this time.
Cool.
Yeah.
Then I would just kind of brush past them and keep walking.
Mm-hmm. Sure. One of them, like, stops in front of you for a second and, like, jumps up in the air and does a jumping jack and then bends over, kind of dancer-like, and bops her feet, and the bells on her feet go ring, and then she does a backwards handspring or two, and then goes like careening off into the crowd and goes, "Sullivan's Grand!" And then another guy across the street also dancing goes, "Grand!" And then she goes, "Circus!" And he goes, "Circus!" And they keep at it.
Truly mesmerizing.
Dyson, what are you doing?
We've probably woken up.
Good.
And gone back to bed for a little bit.
Good. Long day, huh?
Yeah.
Sure. It's nice to be back in your own bed.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Looking at your own decorations, your own weapon cabinet, and little office desk, and candles burned down in the wicks to where you left them.
Mm-hmm.
Very familiar. Comfortable.
Recounting the last couple of days and then jumping out of bed when he remembered that little typewriter box that he got from Maddox and was meant to poke at it to see what it was all about and who would go to where he had stashed it and
mm-hmm.
open up it up and set it up and take a look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Looking, were any of the papers that Maddox had used still there, or are there new ones, or...
Yeah, you can, everything that Maddox has written is still on the top page inside
okay.
of this this device. It looks like, kind of like, you know, the box, it has a little spot where you put the inkwell on
mm-hmm.
the top of it, and it holds paper and the inkwell on the inside cork, but when you set it up and put the paper on the top and the inkwell open with the quill, it's in position to be operated.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He would do that and see if anything happened.
Okay, yeah. So you put everything kind of into place, and you just can kind of feel a tension in the air, a little bit of static. It feels as though it's everything is active. It is ready to use, and you just wait for a while, kind of going through your morning routine.
Mm-hmm.
And it is dormant.
Okay.
Which doesn't surprise you. It's been several days since the excursion with Bon. And Maddox handing it over to you. Few days.
I want to ask what the last thing was written on there, but I think it was something to the effect that they needed a new place to deliver the package.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He would look at it, trying to figure out what he should reply, and just kind of leaves it because nothing has happened mm-hmm. yet anyway.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to leave it in the active position,
mm-hmm.
and just in your apartment?
Yeah.
Okay.
And but he would set it somewhere out of sight.
All right. You put it up far away from windows in your locked door. Well, locked door, you know, in a guarded stairwell at the back, kind of the. An officer's bar, so you feel pretty secure about that. And what are you going to do with your morning?
Well, before he left, he would set that little dragon up on it.
Okay. A little buddy dragon toy?
Mm-hmm. He would set it probably in his closet under one of the shelves there,
mm-hmm.
and dangle the lizard or the dragon right above it so that if you reached in to grab it,
mm-hmm.
you'd come in contact with it.
Okay. Yeah, you wind it up
mm-hmm.
and position it there, and it kind of like it's still in the biting position almost, mm-hmm. and then it like puts its head back kind of towards its armpit, and as your hand is anywhere near it, you can see it like almost tense,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and looks ready to go.
He looks at it and thinks to himself, that might be very, very fun. In the right circumstance. And kind of walks downstairs with a little bit of a smirk on his face, headed to the market to replace some of his consumed equipment.
Mm-hmm. What have you used?
I believe he used some torches up and
yeah.
Broke some tools and...
Oh, yeah. Dacian gets a lot of use out of his equipment and backpack. Everyone else does too.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's a couple other things he used it, but I can't remember what they were. Because they are no longer on my list.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then, imagining that Maddox would have, after yesterday, would have been kind of done. Would have gone to the pub that he frequents
mm-hmm.
to see if he could find him there.
The Bucktooth?
Yeah.
Yeah, you stroll into the Bucktooth and he is not present.
Hmm.
Yep. There is an individual who is out of place there, and he's kind of in the corner, sitting upright very astutely. The stool underneath him is creaking underneath the weight of his polished armor. His helmet is on his head. And the guard, the face guard, is flipped up. And you can kind of see some golden locks coming out of Conroy's helm.
He could sneak up behind him if that's possible, or try to.
Yeah,
is he facing the door or facing away from
him? He's facing the bar in the corner.
Okay. Yeah, he would sneak up to him and tap him on the ear and stand on the other side.
Roll still.
Nineteen.
Yeah. Easily done. With a 19.
I imagine he reacts somehow.
Yeah. Okay. I thought you were going to say something else. I was letting you go.
Oh,
he reacts somehow. He does. He spills his drink, and it goes across the table, and he goes, yeah! And looks back, and he goes, oh, hello.
Hey, Kyle.
And then he goes... Dear patron of this establishment, I appear to have spilled my drink. And the bartender, like, looks at him and scowls and shakes his head like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's all it's How many have you spilled this morning?
One across the lips, and I'm ashamed to say this is my second.
Ooh, I'm sorry. What are you doing in here? This is no place for you.
just passing the time and letting my thoughts fly unhindered by my conscience this morning.
Huh.
This is not a frequent pastime of mine. However, I am frustrated and bored with my lot at this moment.
Hmm. Well, you could have come with us. Just saying. We made it out alive, by the way.
Well, that's evident and good to hear. I do not care for underground.
I gathered as much. Have you seen Maddox around?
I have not seen... Has he met Maddox?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No?
No, that's Leo. Were...
Oh, right.
Anyone by that
okay,
name.
Okay.
But if you describe him for me, I can keep an eye out as I tend my next drink if this fine establishment's generous barkeep will serve me in my state. He doesn't okay. seem very drunk.
He describes Maddox briefly, leaving out some of the more recognizable details. Like, he's usually quite put together, but dirty. Because Solana keeps him clean. Or
put together. Things
are, yeah, put together.
Not clean, but she keeps him put together.
Anyway, I imagine he doesn't recognize him.
No.
Okay. Well, enjoy your drink. I'm sure I'll find him. See you later.
Have a wonderful day. If you are in need of any assistance in defending what is good in this world, well, I'll be here nursing a drink.
Do you reside here now?
No.
Okay.
I don't tend to go home anymore.
Okay.
I sleep under the stars or in the beds of those who I'm able to help when they will accept my assistance.
Understood. Well, I guess we'll see you here then, if I need you. See you later.
All right.
And he heads off to Maddox's.
Okay.
Doesn't find him there and then heads to Maze. Yeah.
Bing, bing, bing. I'm just picturing all your guys' little, like, cartoon faces on the map going and, like, little footprints. Just, like, overlapping, missing each other. And then everybody ends up at Maze.
Yep.
What's going on in Maze this morning?
A whirlwind of ferocious activity.
Hmm.
Maeve would wake Bon up at the crack of dawn if Bon was not up already. Same with Morph. And be like, all right, let's see what damage is done while I was gone. Tell me what happened while we work. And then...
Morph points at Bon and goes, she ate all the cookies.
Oh, well, let's make more. She's going to clean up the kitchen and, like, do an amazing job and then immediately get out all the stuff for cookies and make a huge mess all over again.
Bon is like, it is true. I ate all the cookies. And she scowls at Morph.
Well, it's about time you learned how to make more, then. She's going to go give her haphazard, like, missing instructions where she tells her all the instructions, but, you know, instead of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 as far as steps, it'll be, like, 2, 6,
lots of don't forget
5, says. Yes. And make sure when you started, you did this in advance.
Yeah. Bon, like, is got, like, a cook's hat on in a bowl, and she's stirring it. And then you throw in a, don't forget to beat the eggs before you stir them in. And she's looking at, like, two eggs just sitting on the top of some flour and sugar. And she nods, like, yes, of course. It starts whisking them into whatever is coming out of there.
Were they cracked? Or just...
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Just two whole eggs.
Make sure. That's what I was envisioning.
I wanted them to be crispy.
All these are interesting cookies. Very unique. But we'll start with the traditional way before we get fancy.
Yeah. As you are loading up, the ovens are all fired up. The logs have burned down into embers. The temperature is up. And you're loading the racks with cookie dough. and people begin to shuffle into your home, beginning with Solana early in the morning, with a brisk knock at the door, I assume.
And Maddox is with me.
And Maddox.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, yeah.
I thought I'd come and help make some breakfast.
Oh, perfect. We're waking me up. Cookies.
Cookies for breakfast?
No, just cookies for snacks.
For snacks. At any time.
We haven't got to breakfast yet.
Oh, okay. I was also wondering if I could borrow some tools.
What kind of tools?
Tools for, like, carving.
Oh, I'm sure I have something like that laying around somewhere. Probably out in the shed. Or maybe in the living. I think the last time I was working on something was up in the attic, actually. Go check there first.
Solana blinks, and then just a couple times, and then goes upstairs to see if she can find some carving tools.
Mm-hmm. Oh, way up. Further up. Keep going to the top.
All the way?
All the way.
How big is the house?
It's like a rickety ladder leading up to a trapdoor.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. It was like, it was a noble's estate. Like, one of the wings has collapsed since then and been removed. What's left is been repaired multiple times, and is very tired. Like, the floorboards, anywhere where someone would be walking on the hardwood floors, has a rut to it from the path, like from the door to the kitchen or to the back door especially. There are stains on all of the walls, and the handrails are smooth and far shorter than they used to be on the stairs up to the second floor, and there is an attic up in the top. It has like one of those strings you pull, and there is no spring keeping it tension bound. There's a little lever, and then the stairs to the attic come careening down in a very dangerous and quick fashion.
Like Maeve.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Bam. And Maeve, you're thinking, oh, good, she found it.
Careful, dear. Steps come down really fast.
Thanks. A little
Don't
late.
Don't forget to look out for the steps.
Okay, she'll climb up them slowly. Mm-hmm. Making sure that it's actually, like, not gonna fall apart on her.
No, it's dark up there, for sure.
I meant, like, the ladder fall apart.
Oh, yeah. It is worn in the middle. It creaks, it bends, it bows, it does not break.
Okay, cool. And then, if it's dark up there, she'll just light her light cantrip to shine some light up in there.
Oh, yeah, there's like, some mannequins with some clothing, kind of half-finished or completed clothing of various sorts, stuck to them, needles and pins sticking out of it, and hats in the corner. There are blankets hanging from the rafters, old and dusty. There are chests, some of them locked, some of them ajar, strewn about, and there is about three different work tables, one set up with sewing equipment, one set up with what looks like some carving tools that are put away and more stored there, not in active use. And then one that just seems to be holding like half of a wardrobe for a family that does not live here anymore.
Okay. She would sit down at the carving station and pull tools out. She's going to pull out the
chisels, spoons, and hammers, saws.
Chisels, spoons, and hammers. And lathe. See if she can make a bead out of a chunk of the snake scales.
Bead?
A bead.
Out of snake scales?
Mm-hmm.
The large snake scales.
Like, just something that she can basically fasten into her hair. That's all she's wanting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will say with the chisel, and with the round pointed file and the hammer, you're able to punch out a long, flat, wide bead. Cool. And drill, as it were, kind of like drill a hole in the middle of it with the file, and then kind of sand it down roughly. It's not polished, but you've made what looks like a saucer-like bead out of the corner of one of the snake scales.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
And
flat, probably make kind of scuffed at the moment.
One more of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then put one in her hair and put the other ones back in the bag.
Okay.
Everything else back in her bag.
Go ahead and just give me a sleight of hand check.
Sure. 13.
13, yeah. You're able to make two of these in relatively short time. They're not very finished, like they could use some polish. Not literally, but like some polishing, some fine tuning, some sanding, I don't know, something to make them shiny or more aesthetically pleasing. But they are certainly beads at this point and have achieved and sustained a practical function instead of just being something odd in one of your pockets.
All right, cool.
Mm-hmm.
She's happy. She's going to go back downstairs and see what she can do to help in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Nice is just sitting at the on the one of the couches over by the fireplace.
Sure.
Just patting the glass bowl that Pendleton is in.
Yeah. There are they're like tusks in the corners of this couch, and it's stitched together from many hides. Appears like predominantly buzzard boar hides are what constructs this elegant, regal, claw-footed sofa.
It appears, Pendleton, that Maeve has always had a vendetta against the buzzard boars.
Buzzard boars?
No.
Are they here again? She's gonna, like, basically grab her warhammer and, like, stalk out to the porch to look out.
What is she,
property.
Part hound? Yeah, I saw it over in the field. Go look.
I don't see anything.
Yeah, you wouldn't.
How do you feel about traipsing into fields by yourself now?
Well, the dogs aren't barking, so I don't think there's barking. Anything.
This is true.
Just gonna
the
take
two
a
dogs.
Look around.
Neither of the two dogs are barking.
Sad. I'm glaring ferociously at him. I'm not over the death of Rixie.
She's actually smiling. It's weird.
I'm smiling in this direction.
Just can't stay mad at him.
All right. Right around this time, Daisy and you arrive and smell a variety of different things at the same time. As you approach the door.
Ooh, that's...
Including cookies, question mark?
Smells enticing. There you are, Maddox. I thought you would have been at home right now.
I was, but I had to come out here and see if I needed help with... stuff.
Okay. Well?
Do you have somewhere you need me to be? I'm happy to leave.
Well, if you're not needed here, at some point we should probably go... check out that circus. The oftentimes trouble moves in with it, and since our last little adventure with Billy, and I did look at your messaging device, and I have not seen a response. There is a decent chance that they may try to sneak some people in through with that.
Instead of setting a new meeting place, they came to us? Except they don't know that we have Bond. Because nobody was left alive from that encounter.
There were a few that I believe got away.
Oh, that's a problem.
Yeah. Which means they may lead back to us.
Hey, Bon.
Yes?
How do you feel about being in hiding for the rest of your life?
I'm growing stronger, and soon I believe that my enemies will hide from me. In the shadows, which I control.
I feel like Solana probably like stopped cooking for a minute to like look and be like, and then continue cooking.
She quit stirring and she like had this dark look on her face as she said that, and then she keeps stirring.
Great. All right. Well, what do you say? Because we don't know how many people were involved in that. If there was a way to get them all in one place, would you be interested in that?
I am not certain.
I wish you were.
So do I.
Okay.
I'm not sure if I want to address that situation until I am overwhelmingly prepared to do so, ruthlessly and efficiently.
Yeah, okay. Never mind then.
When catching field mice, she starts to say.
I don't want to hear your metaphors, Vaughn.
Well, if you stay in town, you may have to deal with them sooner than later. I believe this group to be somewhat resourceful, higher up the food chain they go. And I can't believe that you will be safe indefinitely here.
Billy might have been a field mouse. But there are some jaguars out there.
Yeah, something like that. He points his thumb at Maddox.
I am a jaguar, she says. And she turns her back and keeps turning.
I can't deal with this girl.
So you're saying you're ready? Okay.
Yes.
So we're going to go to the circus?
Check it out. See what we can find.
I think that sounds like a prudent idea. Before we turn our backs and go work on something else.
Maybe you'd fit right in there.
I'm gonna look at Maddox very unimpressed. Keep cooking. Keep baking cookies. Alright. What are we going for the circus for again?
Oh boy.
So we're going to the circus so that we can try to mitigate any possible threat toward Bon and ourselves that may have been caused when we disrupted Billy's operation here. I do believe he was not a large piece of the puzzle, just a small piece, and enough time has passed that I suspect some of the larger pieces may be here and may have come in with that circus. And before we turn our backs to it and work on something else, we should probably verify that is not the case.
I joined the circus once.
Really?
Story for another time.
I'll tell you on the way.
Sounds good. First, breakfast. For those that haven't eaten.
I got the eggs.
I got the cookies.
I got the mouth.
And that's where we'll call this episode.
Thank you for joining us in tonight's adventure. Don't forget to tune in Tuesday, 7 p.m. Alaska Standard Time to catch the next installment of Frontier Fiction. It's also no longer D-A-K-S-T. It's just A-K-S-T. For those people who are in Alaska, it's a little different now.
When did we ever say D-A-K-S-T?
We don't, but that is a thing.
We never have.
I know, but it's a thing. And it's just regular Alaska Standard Time.
It always has been.
It's not true.
She feels really strongly about this. She won't even make eye contact. See, it's conflict.
My name is Veda, and I've been playing Solana.
I'm Zed playing Maddox.
I'm Wesley playing Dacian.
I'm Anna playing Maeve.
And I'm Colton, and I've been your DM. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Hope you're having a wonderful day. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can do so at Frontier Fiction on Facebook or Frontier Fiction on Instagram. Take care.
Bye.
Catch you guys next week.
Toodles.
Keep your stick on the ice.